Hello, Los Angeles. Hello, fans of Major League Soccer. Hello, lovers of the beautiful game. Hello and condolences to Colorado Rapids fans. And an extra special hello to the millions.
And millions.
Of Defenders of the Bank listeners, this is episode 271, the rambunctious, ravishing, rampaging of the Colorado Rapids. Get ready, Chick-fil-A and Baskin-Robbins, because y'all are about to get raided tomorrow. More on that later. But first, introductions. My name is Christian Philly Filliman, a.k.a. the platinum-colored-haired flamingo, and I am coming to you from world-famous Philomonster Studios in beautiful Burbank, California. And joining me from the South Bay in front of his semi-famous scarf wall, you'll have to explain that one to me, boy, the Lord of Lawndale, the Warlock of Wool, the Titan of Threads, the Sultan of Strings, La Bufanda himself. I know him as J.R. Lieber, but y'all know him as...
The Scarf. What's good? Strictly alliteration, my friend. Semi-famous scarf wall. It just kind of, I don't know, it rolls a little better. Because that is, you are sitting, as everybody knows, in world-famous Philomonster Studios. So it's like a little dichotomy there. It's a little play on world-famous Philomonster Studios, semi-famous scarf wall. She sells seashells by the seashore. That's all I'm saying.
Rambunctious, ravishing, rampaging rapids.
Listen, what was more fun to say was Triple Beam Pizza, Taco Sway, and Amboy Burgers. But before we get to that, we just want to remind everybody that we are a very happy part of the Flex family. We got to do a lot of things with our good friends at Flex just recently, which was great. It's Kyle, right? Kyle's the new guy. Kyle is not Rigo, as we like to say. Rigo, congrats on your promotion. We know you're probably listening, and hopefully it was a promotion because that's what Kyle told us. Otherwise, if you're fired, we love you still, buddy. But congrats to Rigo on the promotion. Kyle's your new guy for all things Flex. We have been a great part of the Flex family and just want to thank good old J-Mac for coming out to Hawthorne out in Lowe's. Lowe's out in Hawthorne. There it is. It was a great player appearance. Lots of people lining up. It was a really good, really well attended event, Philly. And I got to give Philly props here. This is Philly's gonna write in his diary tonight, right before he goes to bed. Dear diary, Barf gave me some compliments tonight. This is great. I get it. I live literally 25 blocks or so from Lowe's in Hawthorne. In fact, I just go straight down one street and then straight down another street. And I'm there. I just gave directions like my middle schoolers do. But Philly lives in Burbank, y'all. And let me tell you what it's like getting to Lowe's in Hawthorne at 4 o'clock for a player appearance from Burbank. Dante actually writes about it in like the fifth or sixth ring of hell in the Inferno. So if you guys are reading about it, Philly's commute was what he was talking about there. I got to give you props, brother, because look, whether you were a few minutes late or not, and that's hashtag blame Lafferty on that one. It is incredible to me that midday-ish on a weekday appearance like that, you made it out to Lowe's, brother.
Well, I have to thank the flexibility that my 9-to-5 offers me, because if I had a 9-to-5, there's no way I would have been able to make that. I think it took an hour and 20 to an hour and a half to get there. It was not fun, but I didn't want to miss it. It was the final flex player appearance of the season, so couldn't miss out on that. Another opportunity to spend some time with Big Daddy Mac, J-Mac himself. And it's always a pleasure to talk to Philadelphia's finest. And speaking of which, even though there are no more player appearances, there is still another Flex event that's going to take place on August the 31st. That is Thursday. The time, I get it, not ideal, but if you're free, from 11 to 2, they are doing a Flex/LAFC pop-up activation at Lowe's of Mid-City. It's been done there before. And instead of having a player appearance, you are going to get a Falcon appearance. That's right. Ollie will be in attendance along with Ken. And that's who you'll get to spend some time with. We'll get you some more information on whether or not they're going to be raffles or anything of that nature. But you have your opportunity to go out there, learn about Flex, those power tools. If you are in that business and utilize power tools, Flex is a perfect product for you to do the drilling, the music box, box listening, the lighting, everything that I've utilized via Flex. And I am not a handyman by any means, but it's fun doing things powered by Flex. And check it out. Again, August 31st, 11 to 2. Los of Mid City, along with Ali. One would have to think, would it be a well? It's going to be a well attended event because it's Ali. But could you imagine if the Pigeon was in attendance? The infamous Pigeon that was around during League's Cup. That Pigeon got really popular really quick, and just like that, got himself a Twitter handle too.
That's pretty great, right? I want to remind everybody real quick, head on over to flexpowertools.com for all your power tool needs. Every single tool you buy through December 31st comes with a full lifetime warranty for everything included in the box, just not the box itself. So flexpowertools.com. Want to remind everybody that the Mo Fazio Futsal Court fundraising effort back underway. So head on over to lafc.com/Mo-Fazio. I'm going to make it a nice, easy one tonight, Philly, and that will be 25 in honor of the new 25 shirt on the team. That would be Christian Kike Oliveira, who will let the cat out of the bag, put the exclamation point. I'm super excited, by the way, about when this goal was scored. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But $25 for number 25, Christian Kike Oliveira, our new not Walker Zimmerman shirt.
Oh, gosh, I forgot that we were doing this. I don't have anything clever to say. The quick number that pops into mind is the number 9, not because of Mario Gonzalez, but because of Carlos Vela netting his 9th goal of the season. I mean, that comes up. It's less than 25, and I'm always trying to outdo you, but you put me on the spot, and I wasn't prepared. So I'm going to go with 9 as a result of Carlos Vela's 9th goal this Major League Soccer season. 9th regular season goal, I should say.
I like it. It should be noted that Carlos Vela is one goal away, obviously, from double digits. It's incredible to me that he is having the down season by a lot of people's opinions, and yet he's almost in double digits in goals and double digits in assists. He is incredible. And I would like to say one other thing. I do love you, Sebastian Ibiaga, and I did not forget that you also wore 25. But for some reason, I just still think of Walker in the 25 shirt. But we do love Ibiaga.
I think it might be my fault because I threw that to you right away when we looked at him checking into the match. And the reason why that number 25 is distinctive to me is because that is the very first LAFC kit I ever bought. When those jerseys went on sale, I knew everybody was going to go for Carlos Vela. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I wanted to go for another player, support somebody else other than obviously the main attraction. So I opted for Walker Zimmerman. Still to that day, it's in my closet. Can't really wear it because the kit sponsors his YouTube. And since we are part of the Flex family, got to represent Flex Power Tools on all occasions. But that's the reason why I always will relate it to Walker, because that was the very first kit I ever owned.
No, for sure. Look, it's how I met your wife. She was the person standing in line in front of me. And I recognized her, not because of any of the reasons, Philly, that you probably married her for. I'm staying out of trouble with that one, my friend. I recognized her because she was the only one in the room at the time wearing a white Rode Walker Zimmerman jersey. And that was, well, when was that? Was that, played a match yet?
It was before we even had a Founders Club event. So we're probably talking... Yeah. May?
No, it was at the old business offices downtown, like underneath the freeway area.
Like March or maybe even like February of 2018. It was a while ago.
It was. Look, everybody, we do this thing now 271 times. We do a little bit of this day in LAFC history. We do some news and notes. We break down the beatdown of the Colorado Rapids. But before we talk about that, before we get into all the news and notes and everything else, Philly, how good was that birria ramen from Taco Sway?
Dude, I walked in there and I filmed. I had to film. It was the first time. First time the field has been open, but the first time it's been open with franchises that were catering to different kinds of foods. We haven't seen a diverse array of food like that since 2019, since before COVID. Obviously, the fields and free play got shut down post-COVID. The pizza was great. And I'm a pizza snob. I'm from New York. Pizza was fine. Way better than the stuff they had a couple of weeks ago. I will tell you that much. Taco's Way is fantastic. And shout out to our friend. Obviously, he had a rough experience in Miami. Nothing but love. Hope you're back on your feet, my man. Hope to see you soon. I'm going to be rocking my Taco's Way shirt pretty soon and posting about it. But the birria ramen, flipping phenomenal. It cost $22. It was worth $22. And with $22, you better believe I drank that broth. Did not leave a droplet. It was fantastic. And I know you had the hamburger. And by the looks of things, that smelled pretty darn good.
By the looks of things, it smelled good. I like that. Okay. Yeah. Amboy meats, Amboy burgers. Absolutely incredible. It was incredible. Look, the Nancy Silverton is one of my food idols. For all of you out there, if you have access to the show Chef's Table, I think it was originally on HBO. So now it's like Max or whatever they're calling it. I don't even know. HBO has a show called Chef's Table. I think it was HBO. The Nancy Silverton episode is one of the great episodes in the history of television. She is neurotic about bread. She is unbelievable. She is to bread, and I told this to you, Philly, what Yoda is to the Force. Like, it just courses through her. It's something that I'm telling you, you got to watch this episode. So when Triple Beam Pizza, which is partially Nancy Silverton owned, was going to have their pizza at Fields, I dove in face first, mainly because I'm also Italian and it's just kind of what I do. But the burger was incredible. The pizza was incredible. Props to whomever made that happen. Thank you. And it needs to be a regular thing pregame at the Fields. That's for damn sure. And again, we want to wish a very happy birthday. Unfortunately, he is dearly departed. Would have been 45 years old now yesterday because it is Thursday, August 24th at 12:55 in the morning. But he made one of his very last media appearances at then Bank of California Stadium for body armor. Obviously, we're talking about the Mamba himself. Kobe Bryant would have been 45 years old yesterday. And again, I know, Philly, you're a born and raised Knicks guy, and you're a New Yorker by heart. But even you have to respect the greatness that was the Mamba.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're a fan of the sport, you're going to be a fan of somebody who plays it at such a high level. And I'll never forget that day either. It was surreal. I mean, that helicopter was in line like with my house. So it passed above my house at some point during its voyage. And I remember sitting on the couch, and it was in one of our LAFC like WhatsApp groups where the news started popping up, and then all of a sudden breaking news everywhere. And then that's all you heard. It was a very surreal day. Yeah. At that point, the only celebrity death that I really recalled more recently, I mean, I recalled when Kurt Cobain shot himself. That was the death of a lot for me. But I remember when Michael Jackson died. That was a shock, but nothing came more surprising than that of Kobe Bryant. I mean, he still had a whole nother life to lead outside of basketball, and we were all looking forward to the great things that he would do. And yeah, that's such a gut punch, not only to the city of Los Angeles, but to this entire world, because we no longer have a legend walking amongst us. He will be forever loved and missed. Shout out Mamba.
Yep. Happy birthday, Kobe. All right. So let's get into a quick this day in LAFC history. If you're listening to this on the day we put it out, well, that's Thursday, August 24th. We'll get to that in a minute. But game day was August 23rd. And one of the seminal moments in LAFC history happened on August 23rd. All the way back in 2016, August 23rd, the groundbreaking of Bank of California Stadium with LA Mayor Eric Garcetti. I still have one of the hard hats from the groundbreaking. August 23rd, 2016, LA Mayor Eric Garcetti and all of the luminaries. Groundbreaking of Bank of California Stadium. That's awesome. Philly, I know you have a couple of great pictures back before it was finished and everything too, but it all started, God, what is that? Seven years ago. Today, August 23rd, the groundbreaking of Bank California Stadium. And in case you're listening to this on the day we put it out, August 24th, 2018 was the third and final El Tráfico Clásico Angelino, whatever you would like to call it, for 2018. We played each other three times in our very first year. It was a 1-1 draw. And of course, who were the two players that scored in the match? That would be Zlatan for his 499th career goal. And Carlos Vela, they scored. Zlatan in the 15th, Carlos in the 51st. And man, that rivalry, that battle between at his peak powers, Carlos Vela and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, it's just, it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in sport. When you get to see Magic versus Bird, when you get to see, you know, these great rivalries like that, Carlos Vela versus Zlatan has to be up there in one of the great MLS rivalries of all time.
I mean, without a doubt, that's what set the rivalry on fire. Had he not come into the game, that there would have been much of a rivalry because we were absolutely smoking the Galaxy in that game. He a great debut. And you know, it was funny. You mentioned Zlatan and Messi. Did you read the comments that he made about Messi?
No.
Saying that if he truly is the best, then he needs to be scoring like 7 goals a game because the people in MLS are film producers and porn actors. It was such a funny comment. He's like, but scoring goals in MLS is like drinking water. It was a hilarious comment. Of course, very disrespectful, but obviously like Zlatan's a character. At the end of the day, for those who don't know, yes, he's cocky. There's a thin line between arrogance and confidence. But we do know for a fact that having spent a little bit of time with him, he's actually a genuine individual who plays the role of the heel, which he does so well to piss people off and get
get a rise out of people.
Get a rise out of him. So he said that obviously to make himself stay relevant and whatnot. But as amazing as Zlatan's debut was, I mean, equally as impressive has been what Messi's done. And let's put it this way. Messi in a few short weeks has done something Zlatan never had, and that's win a trophy with his club.
And let's remind everybody, by the way, the actor, Billy Campbell, I believe, on Melrose Place, that would be Andrew Hsu, a former 2-year member of the Carson Galaxy. So I'm just saying, a guy on Melrose Place was able to make the Galaxy. Anyways, that's it for this day in LSC history. Philly, do we have any news and notes on your end?
Matty Bogush turned 22 the other day.
Happy birthday, Matty Bogush. There you go.
I don't have any news and notes.
Nah, well, you know what? Let's move right in real quick to the Angel City Minute. ACFC resumes their quest for the playoffs on Sunday, August 27th, with a home match against Rose Lavelle and the Megan Rapinoe Retirement Tour. The OL Reign pulling into BMO with 6 matches left. ACFC finds themselves 6 points out of a playoff spot, even though they have not lost in the Becky Tweed era yet. It's pretty crazy. They've only managed to gain 2 points on the playoff race, and it's actually San Diego Wave who they're trying to catch. They're at the bottom of the playoff table, so good luck to ACFC. And this coming Friday, Philly, Real Monarchs head to Titan Stadium to take on LAFC 2. Last time LAFC 2 played the Monarchs, the black and gold secured their first ever win in club history. It does, Philly, look like 15-year-old Axel Kai will be playing for Monarchs. He signed with Real Salt Lake, a first-team contract, last year at the age of 14, becoming the youngest MLS signing ever. And it looks like he will play for them. He played in their last match for the first time since 2022. Sacramento Republic just signed a 13-year-old about a week or so ago. But Axel Kai, younger than Freddie Adu, broke his record when he signed last year with Real Salt Lake, but has not been able to. He barely cracks the USL Real Monarchs, the MLS Next Pro Real Monarchs now. So very interesting. We'll see a 15-year-old play at Titan Stadium.
All right.
They don't call you the best color man in the business for nothing.
I have nothing to add to that. It's crazy that they're getting younger and younger.
Right? Let's get into the Rapids, Philly. Look, I'm going to give some really astute analysis, and then I'll get out of the way and let you talk. The Rapids are terrible.
Is that it?
That's all I got.
They don't call you the best color commentator in the league for no reason. Terrible. The Rapids are not a very good team. And as we mentioned on One More Sleep, ironically enough, the only other team that's worse than them, statistically, record-wise, point-wise, is Inter-Miami. But of course, that's because that this new crop of the Barcelona retirement tour was not on that team during Major League Soccer season. Messi has not played a regular season game yet. And it's crazy to say because I feel like he's been in the league forever at this point, but they're going to get that opportunity this weekend when they face off against the New Jersey Energy Drink. So finally, there's going to be some padding of that stats. And for as bad as Inter Miami was, obviously they won the league's cup. Now they're in the finals against the Houston Dynamo for the Open Cup, and all this with a mathematical slim margin of making the MLS Cup playoffs. I think Taylor Twellman said it himself. They need at least 8 wins and 2 draws in order to crack it. So the margin for error is extremely minimal. Anyways, yes, they are very bad. This is a long-winded tangent to the Colorado Rapids. But let's put it this way. LAFC, while having a pretty interesting season, that loss to Monterrey in the League's Cup in all competitions, that was our 11th loss of the season. And that actually happens to be one more than we lost all of 2022, which is kind of wild. It's not as awful as it was in 2021 when we lost 13. But just to kind of put things in context, we've had a lot of tournaments, a lot of games, and we've already explained in great detail and depth about all that. But yeah, 11 losses. So we're actually still pretty good, though, in the grand scheme of things, entering this game only in second place behind that pesky St. Louis team.
Yeah, but 11 losses in what, like 40 matches total on the season? It's unbelievable how many matches we are playing. It is crazy to think, though, Philly, this awful Rapids team played us to a 0-0 draw in Commerce City on April 1st. I mean, that seems like forever ago. Just a quick breakdown of Colorado since May 9th. I want to remind everybody that at the sound of the beep, it'll be August 24th. Beep. May 9th. They have one win in 15 matches. By the way, it must be nice to only play 15 matches since May 9th. In those 15 matches, they have scored exactly 9 goals by 9 different players. The only team worse than the Galaxy in the West. You mentioned it. Most of the time, though, Philly, when you only score 16 goals on the season, your plus minus, your goal differential would be god awful. But you know what? Up until tonight, they were pretty stingy. They only gave up 30 goals in all of their matches, in all their MLS regular season matches. So only a minus 14, and I say only because this team is god awful. No one has scored fewer goals than the 16 that they have scored in all of Major League Soccer. They're very stingy on defense until tonight. We absolutely took them behind the woodshed. Philly, let's get right into it. What do you say, my friend?
No, I agree. And just one other important note, they were in 14th place when we played them back during that shutout. They're still in 14th place now. And those, we mentioned this during One More Sleep in case you missed it. There are only 3 other teams that have scored fewer goals over the course of 23 games in the history of Major League Soccer. And one of them actually got knocked out by Inter Messi today, and that's FC Cincinnati. They have never had a season in which they have scored fewer than 20 goals. And I don't think that they're going to break that record. There's still plenty more room to go, but they're not very good. 3 wins on the season, but hilariously enough, a better record on the road than they have in Commerce City at Dick's Sporting Good Park.
Well, that is surprising because you and I have been up there. It is a mile high. It is hard to play up there. It's hard to do anything up there if you just fly in for the day and fly out, although that is the best way to do it, they say. But either way, man, that's a tough place to play. All right.
But so is the bank, bro, because they have never beaten LAFC in history at BMO.
That is true. And it did not happen tonight. That is for sure. Managed by simply one of the MLS all-time greats. And that's not just me saying that. That is MLS saying that. Robin Fraser, the Kingston, Jamaica native, capped 27 times for the U.S. men's national team. An MLS legend. 4-time All-Star. 5-time Best 11. 2-time Defender of the Year. And the league thought so highly of him that for their 25th anniversary, when they named the 25 greatest MLS players, he was on it. Dude is a legend. However, today would not be his best day. 3-4-1-2. That's the lineup that MLSsoccer.com says that they put out there. Some huge names, though, missing from the lineup. And you and I have a ton of respect for Captain Jack Price. Unfortunately, he would not make the roster. He has been out for the year. Was it knee injury, right? Or was it Achilles? I forget which one it is. But
he's lower body extremity. Let's chalk it up to that.
All right. Well, look, he's been out for the season, and that is a major blow for them. Very surprised to see goalkeeper William Yarbrough out for the match. I got to go back and look. Did something happen in training? Was it something?
Yeah, it wasn't on the other media guide. It wasn't yesterday. I checked it yesterday. He was on there. And oddly enough, they said Diego Rubio was out.
Right. But clearly
so they made some kind of error there, clerical error.
Yeah, clearly he wasn't out. Although the one person who was definitely out because he has been removed from team activities would be Max. And I can tell you this. The Brazilian Max, anytime you're removed from team activities, you're sitting in the doghouse and the corner and on timeout all at the same time. That's not a good thing there for Max. I don't know that Max will suit up again for the Claret and is it Claret and Cobalt? No. Is that? Yeah, I don't know. For the Rapids. And look, I want to say something real quick. I've said this on a couple of other things now. The Rapids kits, they are designed, I think it was, or they have something, I have to go back and look. they have something to do with mental health awareness. The kit is dedicated to mental health awareness. It's just a really ugly kit. I am all for what it stands for and the cause that it is supporting. I'm a middle school teacher, man. I'm all about mental health awareness. We need all the help we can get for these kids out there, for the adults, whomever it is. Then make them a better kit. It's terrible. I just don't like it. I felt bad when we did our kit rundown, Philly, on how low I put that one because it is all about mental health awareness. But, yijole, that is an ugly kit. Just my thoughts.
I like the color. I'm not going to lie. I do like the color. But, I mean, they're the Aston Villa / West Ham colored team in Major League Soccer. I didn't hate the kits, and I don't hate them anymore now, because those kits now forever will remind me of the shellacking that we gave them. So I'm fine with it. I would love to go back and revisit that episode, because come to think of it, I don't even remember what I considered the worst kit of all. If Defenders, if you haven't checked that out, it's on YouTube somewhere or early on in the season. Scarv and I did a complete rundown of all the MLS kits. I will say this, a kit that just came out recently that I really, really do like is New York City FC's Parks and Recs kit. That thing is dope. I do like it.
All right. You ready? August 22nd. Maybe this is our fault for not doing a little bit of research on this. August 22nd, William Yarborough has undergone a successful procedure on his right knee to address a tear in his meniscus out for the season.
That was another media guide, though.
Yeah, I'm looking at a tweet from the Rapids on August 22nd. So there you go.
Well, add that to your darn PR report.
I know, right? So just making sure we give all the information to everybody. So let's get into the starting 11. Goalkeeper Marko Ilić, who they had already agreed on a loan, by the way, according to their media guide or whatever. So update your stuff, man. 25-year-old Serbian goalkeeper Marko Ilić did not have a good day today, and he wears it out there, man. He was pissed. He was banging on the ground. He was upset today. One of my favorite players to watch. Unfortunately, I only got to watch him play for the first half. The Kumasi Ghanaian native Lalas Abubakar, the 29-year-old designated player center back from Denmark, because that always goes well. Andreas Maksu, another defender, Danny Wilson, the Scottish native, 9 caps with Liverpool and a ton with both Heart of Midlothian, my favorite Scottish team, and Rangers, 5 caps with the Scottish national team. The Rosenberries taste like Rosenberries. Keegan Rosenberry from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Connor Ronan, which if you had to guess, yep, he's Irish. Came through the Wolves system, mostly loaned out, but played through Wolverhampton system, which is kind of neat there. Midfielder Ralph Prizo, and I knew why I knew Ralph Prizo as soon as they announced his starting lineup. Him in the starting lineup, the 20-year-old Canadian international who arrived in Commerce City after being traded from Toronto for Marc-Anthony Kay. That's right. Ralph Prizo traded for Marc-Anthony Kay. He was only the second to last person traded for Marc-Anthony Kay because Latif was traded for Marc-Anthony Kay. All right, Philly. Where did midfielder Andrew Gutman go to college?
You want me to get into the fight?
Well, I'm set. I put it on the tee. Take your swing.
Indiana, we're all for you. Sing it, Scarf. We will fight for the cream and crimson and the glory of old IU. Never daunted, we will not falter in the battle. We're tried and true.
Oh, boy.
Indiana, we're all for you.
Yay.
He's and sorry about that, Defenders. I wouldn't have done that. He prompted me for it. So if you're going to blame anybody for that horrible singing voice, # blame Scarf on that one.
Listen, there's not many times Hoosiers make the list, so I'll take it. I like to set Philly up on occasion. If you don't know where Philly went to college, he went to Indiana University.
Yay,
Andrew Gutman, acquired from Atlanta this season. And the new guys, Sidney Tavares and Rafael Navarro.
I hate his last name. I hate his last name.
Oh, yeah. John
Tavares.
Sidney Tavares, Judas in the Islander country. Signing on loan from FC Porto. Rafael Navarro, the new DP signing on loan from Palmeiras. And forward Diego Rubio, who has played with both Real Valladolid and Sporting CP of Portugal. As a Rapid, however, he is one of the all-time greats to ever wear the Rapids colors. 38 goals, 22 assists, the third Rapid ever with 30 goals and 20 assists. So, you know, he's the thing, I guess. In the 18, not the DJ Calvin Harris, Brian Galvan, Darren Yappy. My pick to click for Colorado in the match. So glad I picked you. Designated player, Kevin Cabral. Did not get off the bench in this
one.
Is
that the second time that's happened to you, by the way?
Yes, sir.
You couldn't get it up or something?
I mean, hey. And all-time great, MLS all-time great, and friend of the podcast, just one of the nicest people ever, Steven Betashore, rounding out their 18 as far as I am concerned. Philly, no, there was another big omission in the starting lineup, man, and I just hope everything's okay.
Yeah, same here. Real quick before I get into that, I got a fun little LAFC tie-in. So Sidney Tavares was teammates with one of our LAFC players. Can you name that LAFC player and where?
Oh, man.
Stumping the scarf. Billy's
so
stump the scarf.
He played at Porto, and he came through Leicester, right?
Okay, you're on the right track.
He came through Leicester.
You're on the right track.
I don't have it. I don't think.
Really?
I mean,
I could give you a hint, but I want to stump the scarf. So
no, you can stump. It's 1:15 in the morning. You can say you stumped the scarf. What do we have?
Eldin Yakupovic. They were teammates at Leicester City for a cup of coffee.
Interesting. I'm not gonna lie. I forgot that Eldin played for Leicester City.
I gotta give a shout out to Eldin, man. With Maxime Crépeau back, we're not seeing him in the 18. I love Eldin. I want to give Eldin props anytime I can.
We are seeing him at BMO though, right? He's been out and about. And by the way, the obvious other tie-in, Rafael Navarro on loan from Palmeiras, where he played, of course, with our good buddy Edward Atuesta. So. Did not know. Nicely done, Philly, on the thumping of the scarf. Leicester City teammates. Did they ever play in the same game? Do you know? That'd be interesting.
I don't think Eldin got that much run at Leicester.
Their time just overlapped, right?
No, I think it was Everton he didn't get much time at. Either way, like, I don't know that statistic.
What you got for me, Philly? Who's
all right, so no Cheeky Palacios. Personal family reasons. He had an excused absence. And part of me tends to wonder if that was also the case for the Rose Bowl. We were told he was ill, but obviously an illness turned into a personal family situation with an excuse scenario. I don't know what any of that means. So hopefully, like you said, everything's going to be all right. But starting in his place, Sergi Palenzi, who had a phenomenal game. But real quick, John McCarthy, Big J Mac Daddy himself, in between the pipes. Excuse me. Burp. It happened.
Wow. You all right there, bud?
Yeah, I'm living. It's, Topo Chico makes me burp. John McCarthy in between the pipes, Sergi Palencia, Aaron Long and Giorgio Chiellini and Ryan Hollingshead. Fun lineup. They did a tremendous job maintaining a clean sheet. In the midfield, Timothy Tillman, Ilya Sanchez, and the ever-so-improving Mati Bogus. He had a great game. Up top, Carlos Vela, Mario Gonzalez, and Denny Bowanga. And as far as our subs are concerned, we have Daniil Maldonado, Mamadou Fall. Still there?
Who, me? Yeah.
Oh, I thought you froze for a second. I was terrified. Mamadou Fall, Stipe Buick, Maxime Crépeau, Eric Duenas, Kellen Acosta. And it was fun to have Kellen Acosta there, former Colorado Rapid. Christian Oliveira gets his visa and gets himself in the 18. More on him later. Nathan Ordaz and Philip Fufu Krosted, your 18.
Man, I'm looking at the last few. Wow. That was terrible podcasting. Let's back that all the way up.
What part?
Look, everything I just said, that was a hot mess. Looking back at Eldin Yakupovic's four matches that he played with Leicester City.
Still on this?
Yeah. I was curious. Looking back at the four matches that he played, it doesn't look like any of them, unfortunately, happened at the same time, but. Goodness gracious. He was part of the Jamie Vardy party, which is always fun. So, all right, moving on. Philly, I like Mario Gonzalez. I'm trying to really like Mario Gonzalez. I want to throw out a stat about Mario Gonzalez real quick. And this is not per LAFC PR. This is per Scarf PR, because this is true. In the first 9 minutes, he had four shots. Four. He played 74 minutes, Philly. In the next 65 minutes, he had zero shots. Zero shots for a number nine.
That can't be right. four Why? Shots and then nothing afterwards?
Correct.
Are you sure about that? Because if you look at the stat sheet, it said he led the team in shots and shots on target with 7 and 2, respectively.
No, he had – it was Danny Bowanga with 6 shots and Mario with 4, from what I read. But
I mean, take a look at that thing Carlos gave us. I'm pretty sure I saw 7.
All right. Well,
with an XG of 0.92.
I hear you. Here's the one line that came from LAFC's PR email that we got. Mario Gonzalez started and played 74 minutes up front for LAFC for his MLS debut. It looks like, MLS debut. He was second on the club with 4 shots, all of which came in the opening 9 minutes. That's what I got from LAFC PR. I'm just saying. That's what I got. And so what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, is go through the first 9 minutes of the match. In the 3rd minute, Carlos with a great pass ahead to Mario in the box, and he gets air on it, but it was a great save by Marco Ilić. It should be 1-0 on an absolutely perfect pass by Carlos Vela. In the 5th minute, the Twilight Zone happened, and Giorgio Chiellini got a yellow, absolutely bonkers yellow, 5 minutes into the match for that foul. I have to go back and look. I think what they said was maybe he kicked out from him while he was on the ground is what the yellow card might have been for, but absolutely ridiculous. I wrote in my notes in the 6th minute that Mario might be snake bit. I'm really hoping he's not. But another save by Ilić. This time he was sprung right in the middle of the park, but another good save by Ilić. And in the 9th minute, I just wrote crap. This time he whiffs. Put in perfectly again, can't settle the ball, and barely gets a touch on it. Ugh. And that was my first 9 minutes, Philly. They might have even given him 2 shots on that because he got one kind of blocked. It was a whole thing. Very, very worried about our good friend Mario this early on. I know I probably shouldn't be, but all I'm saying is I'm getting that PTSD vibes from look, if y'all don't know, I not only was on the Brian bus for a long, 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 long time, I was driving that Brian bus usually on the wrong side of the freeway at about 90 miles an hour. So unfortunately, when I see Mario right now doing the things that he's doing, Philly, I'm getting a scared.
Well, don't get scared, because there's no reason to create the narrative that he's not a good player. Anytime he had the ball, he was a threat at scoring. Look, Ilić made a couple of really good saves. Yes, I agree. That first play should have ended up in a goal. That last play in the 9th minute where Sergi Palencia made the play, look, Mario had a bunch of people around him. He didn't get enough boot to leather. So I'm not gonna fault him on that, but he was a threat. I hope is that we don't use him the same way we utilize Christian Ramirez, as a false nine, because this dude was hired on and brought over to be an actual nine. So, look, he's played 2 games. He's not snake bit, because that's just not a good body of work. Yes, yes, teacher?
Just want to ask real quick, what uniform number does he wear?
Diego Rossi's old number.
The 9, right?
Okay. Yes, the 9, yes. And obviously he needs... They call him the Pistolero, so we're expecting him to shoot some bullets on target. And they were on target. Ilić just came out pretty strong.
Ilić was great. You're right. You're absolutely right. Ilić was great the first 10 minutes or so. By the way, I'm so stupid for not talking about this. Philly, can you indulge me for just 1 second?
What?
Look.
Team Security Paul's scarf. The scarf bought a scarf of Team Security Paul.
This is having Paul right here over my shoulder while I'm podcasting. This makes me feel so safe having Paul right here while we're podcasting, because I know I'm secure now because I got Team Security Paul. If you're not watching us, by the way, on YouTube, you're missing me point at Team Security Paul and his scarf. So there's that. Philly, again, you mentioned it though, right? Marco Ilić, 11th minute, Vela to Danny Bowanga, and Ilić makes another save. Then Vela to Sergi Palencia, but somehow the ball gets played back off of Sergi Palencia. I think it's because Ilić might have made another save or the defender blocked it off him. Either way, I mean, look, you and I agree. We should have been maybe up 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 in the first 11, 12 minutes of this match.
Yeah, look, we came out guns a-blazing, which, I mean, we had enough time to relax, and you would expect this team to go out there pressing the hell out of Colorado, and it was like the 40 minutes of hell that Nolan Richardson at the University of Arkansas would utilize. 40 minutes of hell, 45 minutes of hell, 90 minutes of hell. They employed a lot of pressure and created a lot of turnovers. That shot that got blocked by Ilić, we have to talk about the fact that Giorgio Chiellini was there forcing a turnover. LAFC was doing their thing defensively. 14th minute, you had an ambitious strike by Denny Bwanga, but that ambitious, I say that obviously tongue-in-cheek sarcastically, he was way off the mark. But LAFC moving the ball extremely well up to that point. 18th minute, we have the Rapids trying to press LAFC, and that didn't really work out too well. You wanted to say he was snake bitten, but Mario Gonzalez did a good job getting held down by Maxo, like big time, and he still managed to keep the play going, managed to squeeze a pass on over to Carlos Vela. And Carlos goes on the break. Looking at his fast break, you got Bogus to the left of him. You got Denny to the right of him. He wisely chose to go to his left, connecting with Mati, and he put Lalas Abubakar on a pair of ice skates. Absolutely went right by him. Snapped a beautiful shot past Illich. What a fantastic goal. Mati Bogus getting on the boards. And look, it all started with Mario Gonzalez. If he was a weaker, more passive player, Maxu would have completely stripped him. He held onto that ball. He gave it over to Vela. Vela made a great pass on over to Mati. Mati had a clinical and a beautiful goal. So bravo, LAFC. They finally get rewarded by applying the pressure. And look, it all started with Mario Gonzalez.
Look, you are mentioning what I have seen to be my favorite attribute of Super Mario so far, and that is exactly that. He does not go down with contact. He stands up. He's a bigger guy. He's a taller guy. Stands up during play, stays up during play, and just, you're absolutely right. If that doesn't happen, we don't get that whole break started. And I thought what I wrote in my note was that Mati looked a lot like Carlos used to from the right side there, where he takes one touch, puts it on his left foot, and curls it in top bin, right? Mati did the exact same thing. Took one touch, put it on the right foot, and just a beautiful curler, no doubt, into the back of the net. Looked a lot like a mirror image version of Carlos Vela on that opposite side. Super happy. Giorgio fouled in the 22nd minute. Corner of the box. Denny bangs it off the wall. He got it back and put like this low worm burner all the way through the box. Couldn't tell if Mario Gonzalez touched it or not. And if he did, he directed it just wide of the far post. I'm thinking, God, this guy's trying to redirect it in, having a little trouble even with that. I just think what I saw Philly throughout this entire match is that, especially in the first half, we were doing a really good job of placing those through balls, those line splitting passes. Giorgio had one in like the 13th minute that almost got to two players. And then the 26th, Carlos puts Denny through as well. Really good effort, though, by Lalas Abubakar. Mm-hmm. Again, one of my favorite players to watch on Colorado.
You just want his hairstyle. I know that.
I mean, listen, if I could grow my hair.
Start by dyeing it jet black.
Yeah, I mean, look, Lalas Abubakar's got a lot of salad in that bowl up top. That's all I'm going to say. There's a lot going on up there. But 26th minute. Carlos's corner goes all the way through. They reviewed it for a little bit, right? Lalas was saying he got him in the head, and Ryan was saying, you pulled me down. Nothing happened. Nope. And, 26 minutes in, we're up 1-0. Feeling okay, though, because we're playing on the front foot.
Yep, 28th minute, J-Mac making a huge save, his first of four saves throughout the course of the day. Actually, no, I don't know if that's the first, but certainly one of four. 29th minute, we had a ball that came in that was very much offside. Pass on over into Mario Gonzalez, and of course, the one time he does find the back of the net. The goal's disallowed because he was off, but as that ball gets into Carlos, there's no doubt that that was offside, so no harm, no foul there. But then, seconds later, LAFC forcing yet another turnover, this one caused by Ilya Sanchez. He did a really good job out-hustling Priso to get to the ball. From there, he makes a brilliant pass on over into Carlos, and Carlos scores to the near side of the keeper, past Illich, catches him snoozing. 9th goal of the season. We're up 2-0. And as far as Carlos Vela is concerned, Scarf, he scored in 3 consecutive league games, and he's 1 away from a 4th MLS season with 10 or more goals. He had a goal and an assist thus far. So all you Vela haters out there, stew on that for a second. Fine, maybe we played the worst team in the league, but if he's finished, he shouldn't be playing anyway, right? Is he finished? Is he washed up? As Bob once said to Sebi Salazar, get lost. In 33 games in all competitions this year, Carlos Vela has scored 14 goals and had 10 assists. Washed up, having an off season. Look, he's not the main point of the offense anymore. It is Denny Bwanga. But if this is an off season, I'll take it time and time again. El Rey makes good on the day.
No, you're absolutely right. Carlos has been vintage Carlos recently. And look, he's not doing it in the way that he used to, right? He seems to be a little bit more clinical, seems to be, he's more of the YMCA basketball player who you don't expect to see. And all of a sudden he drops.
I'm
like
wearing the glasses of that YMCA player.
Oh yeah. I'm supposed to ask you about your glasses. What the heck are you wearing?
So the other day I went to go see the Meg 2 in 3D and I never gave back the 3D glasses. So I took them and all I did was poke the holes out of the 3D glasses. And here I am looking like one of the Hansen brothers from the infamous movie Slapshot.
I'm really glad I asked you about that. Thank you. That's there you go. All right.
That's about 30 seconds. You will never get back. Thank you for asking me, Scarf.
Yeah, right. Look, it's funny. We have Dario and his son who sit right behind us. He had a good laugh at me because in the 36th minute, as Ryan Hollingshead is just booking it down that left sideline. Excuse me. I'm yelling, "Go Ryan! Go Ryan! Take the space, Ryan! Go Ryan!" And I mean, he just never stopped. I love it. I love Ryan Hollingshead. It was a little touch pass at midfield and he just took it and went. And look, I'll say this, Lala Zabubakar, you were my player to watch, buddy. So I was watching you take on Ryan Hollingshead 1v1. And I don't think you thought that dude was as fast as that dude was, because Ryan Hollingshead turned the corner on you like Gareth Bale turned the corner on that, what was his name? Silva, the defender for Real Salt Lake, I think it was, turned the corner on him. And I asked Ryan point blank, I said, "Hey Ryan,
yeah, you did.
Debate. There's debate in the press box here, press conference. Some people think that was a cross. Some people think that was a shot." And he was like, "Oh man, you put me on the spot." He absolutely admitted that was a cross. He was, it was a misplaced cross for the pride of UCLA. Ryan Hollingshead, look, I got to give a shout out real quick to our buddy, Justin Ruderman, Graham Zusi, 30 goals in 324 matches since 2010. Ryan Hollingshead, 26 goals in like 240 matches or so since 2010. But I have a problem with your stat, Ruderman, and I'm going to find the correct stat for you. Ryan Hollingshead didn't debut in 2010. So I want to go like for like, apples for apples, the old man in KC, Graham Zusi, against Ryan Hollingshead. And Ryan Hollingshead has already said he's only 4 goals behind. He's going to get it this year. I like it. It's only his first goal of the season, so he's going to have to do a little bit of scoring. But, man, do I love me some Ryan Hollingshead.
Yep, he's funny. And he, you put him on the spot. He had a cackle the minute you asked him. He's like, "God, you won't even let me comment about it. You're going to ask right about that." And then after the laughing, the he and the hawing, he's like, "Cross." it was quite funny. Look, I don't have anything until like stoppage time. An amazing play that could have potentially been on a highlight reel. You get a ball in from Ilya Sanchez to Carlos. Carlos getting by that Indiana Hoosier and Goodman and getting a nice pass into Palencia, who in equal terms had an even more brilliant pass back to Carlos. And Carlos just missed the mark. The threading, the passing, the efficiency of LAFC, moving the ball from the defensive third all the way up, making threats on Illich. It was beautiful. It was just such a brilliant play. I love to watch. You can go back and watch that. Obviously, nothing happened. It won't appear on the stat sheet, but man, that was a hell of a pass by Sergi Palencia. And he had a really good game subbing in for what would have been Cheeky Palacios.
Yeah.
That brings us into the half. LAFC with 10 shots on 10 shots, 5 of them on target, 3 goals. How's that for efficiency? That's pretty darn good. Colorado, on the other hand, with 4-1 on target, J-Mac only making that one save. And it was still Colorado that maintained more possession, but not by much. I talked about LAFC's passing efficiency. Maybe I got ahead of myself because they were only at 76%, but they were creating chances. They were doing their things. Colorado was fouling us because they were getting frustrated beyond belief at the fact that we were pressing them and absolutely obliterating them. And going into the locker room, a lot different than when it was at the Rose Bowl, going up 2-0 on Monterey. Going up 3-0 gives us a little bit more relief, and I think we really just broke the spirit of the Colorado Rapids earlier on, and that's exactly what we needed to do, as we alluded to in One More Sleep, is to give them, just shred any ounce of hope that they have. Attack, attack, attack. You and I both predicted 3-0 finishes. We would have been satisfied, but we still had another 45 minutes to go.
No, you're absolutely right. The only other one thing I want to mention about that first half, as right before that play happened, by the way, right before the goal, or the almost goal, it was a great little give and go. And again, you have to go back and watch this. It was ticky-tacky at its best. It's incredible. Stephen Betashore, is coming from the corner flag all the way down to the players' bench, the visiting bench there. And Carlos is just kind of hanging out by the sideline. And I don't know what Stephen Bateshore said to Carlos, but Carlos turned around and they both started laughing. Oh my God. I don't know what Beta said, but it was a cool little moment there from Beta and Carlos. We'll talk about another little moment with Beta after the match. I love Bateshore. I miss that guy. We go into the half up 3-0. We come out of the half and Timothy Tillman takes a seat for Kellen Acosta. For the Rapids, Philly's favorite player, Tavares, comes out for the not DJ, Calvin Harris. And my boy, Lalas Abubakar, comes out for Brian Galvan. And we got a brand new club coming out of the half. I mean, look, even Steve said it at the press conference. Maybe the first 10, 12 minutes of the first half, really dominated by Colorado in every way, shape, and form. They look pretty solid coming out of the half and really took it to us for the first 8-10 minutes or so.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, the free kick they had into the wall, 52nd minute, a rare buildup. You had Keegan Rosenberry. I just love saying that name. It makes me think of Frankenberry. It makes me think of cereal. It makes me think of food and hunger. He had a ball into the newly signed Navarro, who connected with Connor Ronan. Stupid autocorrects. He fired one from outside of the box, but it was J-Mac getting himself his second save, which was pretty darn awesome. So 52nd minute, they were making threats. 53rd minute, that's who cares about that stat? Who cares about that stat? 55th minute, you had a yellow card on Danny Wilson. Danny Wilson, they were being awfully naughty. They had 12 fouls going into the half. Now they're starting to accumulate on the yellow cards. By the way, the yellow card that Giorgio Chiellini got early on in the game, what a bunch of BS. The nicest, most likable guy on the pitch. How are you going to give him a yellow card? At that point, I realized the ref was a POS. More on that later. But 59th minute, J-Mac makes yet another save. And this time it was off of a set piece. And something that Steve said in the press conference, The Rapids are rather proficient in executing off of set pieces. Connor Ronan taking the corner, and it connects with the captain, Diego Rubio, who has his header on target. But we get another big save by number 77, John McCarthy. And like you said, the first 8-10 minutes, Colorado was really making a run. Nothing to lose, making attempts, but Big Daddy J-Mac doing things, baby.
Look, and I want to say a quick thing about J-Mac, too. I will say that he only had 4 saves in the match. But they were quality saves tonight. I mean, that header, look, nothing's going to make a highlight reel. It wasn't any one-handed push it over the bar kind of saves. But the saves that he had to make, look, the story of my dating life in college, there weren't any 10s, but there were a bunch of good 5s and 6s. I mean, those saves were solid, man, I'll tell you. It was fun to watch J-Mac today because he looked pretty comfortable even when the few opportunities that Colorado had were presenting themselves right in front of him. I mean, he was pretty solid. He did have the one, he came out to try and address the corner, I think in the 52nd minute, right? He came way out and got nowhere near the ball, but luckily the angle was so bad on the play that's why John couldn't get to it. But other than that, I was kind of hoping John would come to the press conference today because I really thought he had a great game. That was a lot of fun. Look, Ryan Hollings said with incredible pressure in the 60th minute led to him creating a turnover and tried to cross it to Carlos. But 2019 Carlos gets to that ball. 2023 Carlos, maybe not so much. And I just loved the center back pairing today. And obviously, Steve said things are going to be very different in just a few days at FC Charlotte because, one, it's turf, and two, it's just a few days. So we'll see what happens with Giorgio Chiellini, but I do not think we are going to see any of Giorgio against Charlotte. Or if we do, it'll be like an 80th minute sub to close things out after we're up 2-0 or something. But in the 61st, a great header after pressure in the box by Giorgio. In the 62nd, a great header after pressure in the box by Aaron Long. Those two really communicated well today. I thought this was a great match for Aaron Long, and it was a very typical great match for Giorgio Chiellini. We got to talk about this referee in the 63rd minute. Just a powder puff football kind of call that I was just so frustrated with this referee. A soft foul by Denny Bawanga, and that's what takes the goal away. We had Philly, did you say we had three goals find the back of the net that didn't count today?
Yeah. So we, exactly. There was an offside. There was this. I mean, we could have had seven goals on the day. Again, yep. Last time we were all at BMO together was against FC Juarez, where we did score a touchdown against that club. But you said it. My exact note in the 62nd minute was the ref can go suck an egg. A total horse manure on that play. Matty Bogush has to get the credit because he had a great long ball into Denny. And Denny, with the touch on the header, what's up?
There's no way that I thought that phrase was going to come out of your mouth. That is the cleanest possible phrase that could have come out of your mouth about what happened on this podcast. Can I tell you, I was sweating from every pore in my body the entire time you were speaking that sentence. And then when you said what you did, it was like, oh, he didn't do it. I thought he didn't do it. All right, good.
I'll save the swears for the Instagram lives and stuff like that. I'll save this for family friendly. But yes,
I almost died.
The ref could go suck an egg. Yeah, let's put it that way. So going back to what I was saying. So Matty makes a nice long ball into Denny. He heads it. It's a good touch. And he just sticks with it the whole time. And then it's your buddy Maxo, who he's battling with. And Denny stays on his feet. And like you were talking about Mario Gonzalez, he aggressively stayed with it. Attempted to chip it over Illich. He did. He finds the back of the net, but it gets called for a foul. Not even the broadcast team was convinced. We saw heavier fouls on BS plays. The fact that they called that back, come on. Referee, go suck an egg. Awful call.
That's going to be your new favorite catchphrase of mine. That's for sure. I can't wait. Listen, we got a debut in the 64th minute. How crazy is this, by the way? Look, we're up 3-0, so we can make substitutions like this. But Matty Bogush and Carlos Vela, I would say two of our more dynamic offensive players out there on the pitch, we give them a little bit of a break, and we bring on Fufu and Kike. This is fun. We got some fun nicknames. Philip Kushtev and Christian Oliveira. Christian Oliveira making his debut for LAFC, wearing Walker's number 25 shirt, Sebastian Abiaga's number 25 shirt, and of course, Philip wearing his number 50. That's a fun one, 50. So we got a debut in the 64th minute. 65th, we get a yellow on Navarro, and then the referee doesn't call a foul the very next time he does something as he takes down Ilya Sanchez with an undercut. I really think, and this is something that Steve Cherundolo talked about last season, I think it was, when Cheeky Palacios got undercut and then got really hurt, was out for a few games. MLS needs to address a particular point in the rule book about these undercutting when a player goes up for a header or when a player goes up for an aerial. If the other player doesn't go up and he's found undercutting, that can be one of the most dangerous plays in football. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that there's not a review on some of these types of plays when a player clearly undercuts another when they are in the air. It should be, in my opinion, the way that Ilya landed and the potential damage that could have happened, those should be yellow cards. And I know there are a ton of people right now listening that are calling me soft for saying something like that. Like, that's just part of football. I completely disagree. It's legislated out of almost every other instance in sports where that can happen. And I am tired of seeing our players go down the way that they have gone down because they got undercut, blatantly undercut by a defending player.
Well, if we're going to talk about gripes, I have a gripe too.
Okay.
I like fun. Those who listen to the show know that I'm no stranger to doing funny things and getting a rise and a laugh out of things. I like fun. What I don't like is the wave. After the 70th minute, there was an attempt to make the wave. I distinctly remember the wave at Shea Stadium when the Mets were piss poor. The wave is what you do at a baseball game when you are bored. This game was not boring. It was fun. A lot of cool highlight reels. Yet people were trying to Americanize the experience at BMO. And while some people would be like, oh, Philly, you're being too much of a ninny. You don't like fun. I love fun. But the wave reminds me of a bad New York Mets team, which has pretty much been the history with the exception of a couple of years. But that's what you do when you're bored. This was not a boring match. Cut the wave out. Cut it out. There's my gripe.
Did you just did you just Danny Tanner cut it out right now? Is it Danny Tanner?
Joey Gladstone, thank you very much.
Joey Gladstone, sorry. Sorry. Jeez, cut it out. By the way, fun fact for the scarf, I used to go trick-or-treating with the Olsen twins. I did it twice, 2 years in a row. They lived right next door to like my best family friend. What's that?
What's the age difference between you and them?
Hold on. Let me look. They were very tiny at the time.
It's still very tiny anyway.
They are very tiny.
Trick-or-treating with the Olsen twins?
They're 37.
All right, so you were just 3 years older than them. Well, you're always going to be 3 years older.
But they were, right? But they were this big. They were that big. They were very
so tiny. You couldn't have been that much bigger.
I could not. By the way, I think I mentioned this to you, right? Last time, where was I at? When did I see him? Why was I there? What did I do? Last time I was down at PayPal Park, I got to meet Crazy George Henderson.
The guy who started the wave.
Guy who found October 15th, 1981 at an Oakland A's versus New York Yankees playoff game. Crazy George Henderson invented the wave. I did not know who that man was. And someone pointed to him that I was talking to him like, hey, you want to meet somebody cool? I was like, yeah. And he points to this old dude with like just all kinds of sinewy muscle, but like very little hair up top on the back anymore. And he's like, that's the guy that invented the wave. So I took a picture with Crazy George Henderson and we have gone completely off the rails. Oh my goodness. Philly, let's see, where are we at? 74th minute. We get Stipe coming on for Mario. Thank you. And in 75th minute, we get Darren Yappy on.
Dare I say like for like sub?
Right? Too soon? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely too soon.
We're not picking on you, Stipe. We're not picking on you, Mario. We're picking on both of you. It's fine. Darren Yappy on for Diego Rubio. Look, he subbed on in the 64th minute, Kike Oliveira. And I mean, we're talking 70th minute, beautiful cross. 78th minute, great long run. 80th minute, great movement by him. 81st minute, he and Denis almost hook up. This dude in 26 plus stoppage time, he absolutely set the pitch on fire, Philly.
His pace, his speed. I mean, Steve made a joke about it when we was asked, well, how's his pace? Is he the fastest guy on the team? I think it was Josh Gross who asked that question. And he goes, well, he hasn't raced me yet. It was kind of funny. The chemistry between Denny and Oliveira was pretty cool. But what happened was we had substitutions coming in right after the 81st minute. Elie off for Eric Duenas. And the reason why I'm bringing that up because, in the 83rd minute, in the scarf minute, Eric Duenas, minutes after checking into the match, gets the ball on over to Denny, spots the wide open Christian Oliveira to his right, gets it right to Oliveira, and booyah, past Illich. Welcome to L.A., kid. He gets his visa and his first goal, on the same day, definitely the same week? 21 minutes into his LAFC career, and Oliveira opens up his scoring account. And here's another fun fact for you. Second player this season to score on his debut. Shout out, Fufu Krasdev. Duenas gets the credit on that play with that assist, as does Denny. Denny, a pair of assists on the day. Scoreless, but he had one that should have been the fifth goal of the game. Well, fourth goal at that time, but hell of a play by Eric Duenas. And I think I looked over to you when he was checking into the game. I said, wouldn't it be crazy if Oliveira scored in his debut faster than Mario Gonzalez? And shoot, it happened. So we have to be careful what we say and what we wish for. I wish for $1 million.
Nah, keep wishing for goals, man. Let's go. First ever assist for Eric Duenas in Major League Soccer. Pretty cool. Congrats to the kid. Nathan Ordaz, Eric Duenas, they occupy very nice little small places in my heart. I just love these guys. They're awesome. I love watching our homegrowns. Real quick, I want to go over a stat on Christian Oliveira. Just 26 minutes played. His minutes played, only two other players played fewer minutes in the match, than Oliveira. And yet he was second on the team with a 0.66 expected goals in just 26 minutes, which is unreal, absolutely unreal. Our leader in expected goals this match, in his 73 minutes with 0.92, that's almost one full expected goal, would be Super Mario. So
it'll happen. Don't you worry. He's not snake bitten. He's going to score.
I hear you.
It's gonna have a two game scarf. You can't throw it. I get that you have the PTSD with Brian, but you drove the Brian bus for a very long time. Optimistic. You can't throw Mario under the bus just yet.
Right now it's a Mario motorcycle. I gotta get somebody to hop in the sidecar with me. It's lonely on the Mario train, but I'm trying.
No, it's not that lonely. He was a threat. He'll score. Don't you worry.
I can't wait. From your lips to God's ears, my friend.
It's not fair. Look, you're a student. You wouldn't fairly depict a student's ability off of 2 days in class, would you?
No, listen. All I'm saying is I'm reserving judgment for a little while longer, but not much longer. We'll see. He's got a number 9.
You just started.
I know. I'm holding him to a higher standard than I held Brian. I'm not going to get burned again. Okay.
Why? Brian was the DP.
Not going to get burned.
Brian was the DP. You should have held Brian to a higher standard. Mario's not a DP.
Kevin Cabral was a DP, too. He didn't play today. Good job, JR. Way to go on that one. 89th minute. Lots of confusion, but the referee will say at the end of it all is the reason why there's not an offside is because he called the foul in the first place. Oh, okay. So, wait. You let the play happen, and then because of the result, which was an offside, you decide to retroactively give the foul call before the offside. So why did you allow play to continue? So if you call continuation, right? You call continuation on that play. You allow the advantage is what it is. Sorry, continuation's in basketball. Advantage is soccer, football. If you allow advantage, then that foul no longer matters because you have said you're not calling it to continue to allow the advantage. But if you call the foul, then the offside couldn't have happened in the first place. It wouldn't have been a whole thing. Either way, everything that happened in the offside, Aaron Long missed anyway. So it didn't matter. And he deserves to run a win sprint after the game for that one because that was on the doorstep, my friend. But because they gave the foul first, the yellow goes to Ralph Priso. And for the foul that started the whole thing, we get a free kick. Nothing really happened. It was a whole thing. Look, it's just a frustrating bit of refereeing and more inconsistency by what Philly likes to call the pretty rancid officiating from pro. Just the referee was awful today, and we came out of it up 4-0. And if we can still complain about how bad the refereeing was, I mean, my goodness. Philly, I just want to bring up one moment in stoppage time, and that's Eric Duenas. He got right in the Rapids player's face, got shoved right back to the side, and all he cared about was him not getting the free kick off, so he just kept his foot right in front of that ball. I absolutely loved it. I just love the heart that Eric Duenas plays with. I think he does know that he's only like 5'2", right? Like, he's a little dude, but he is the exact epitome and embodiment of it's the size of the fight in the dog, not the size of the dog in the fight.
Fair enough. No, the kid plays with a lot of heart, much like Latif. I do love Eric Duenas. I love Nathan Ordaz. I love the young guys. Speaking of the young guys, the one guy who doesn't get enough love, he does a lot of things that don't go in the stat book. Look, you talk about that offside play in the 88th. Look, Stipe was Keegan Rosenberry was hanging on him like Miss Piggy hanging on Kermit.
It's not easy being green.
And he still managed to muscle Keegan Berry off of him and get that ball into Denise. So, look, for all the hate that Stipe catches, and he had a shot that he got nowhere near on target towards the end of the game, but he made that play happen. So he almost contributed to an assist to Denny Bwanga. So I want to credit Stipe there. There are a lot of things that he does well, attracting corners, doing things. He just needs to get some more shots on target. That's it. But that's all I wanted to add about that. We had 3 goals taken back. It might as well have been a touchdown, but either way, Colorado, other than the 10 minutes or so within the second half, not a threat at all, proving to us and confirming validating our concerns that, not concerns, but our points, that they really are the worst team in Major League Soccer. And had we not done anything less than annihilate them, it would have been considered an L to me. And look, we absolutely obliterated them. It really should have been 5-0 at the very least. And I really wanted to pay off my debt. There was a bet going on as a result of our one more sleep, and I was going to owe a 6-pack. But I no longer have to pay that debt. I wonder what I would have to have done if it was 7. Would we have had to go for more than that? Either way, look, we killed Colorado. All is well. J-Mac, 4th saves, 8th clean sheet. And in the last four games, man, that we've played, J-Mac, two shutouts, only allowing two goals and making nine saves.
Yep.
So Maxime is not going to be sniffing that starting spot anytime soon with John McCarthy playing the way he's been playing. I love Maxime. He gave it his all. He gave his leg to LAFC. But honestly, it's if we're going to go by the numbers and living in this what have you done late for me lately culture, John McCarthy has solidified his spot. John McCarthy deserves a raise, that's for sure, because he's playing like a million-dollar goalkeeper.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Eight clean sheets for him as well. Look, talk about a couple of other things. Number one, Denis Bawanga with six shots tonight, taking the Major League Soccer lead in shots with 95 on the season. That's a pretty big number.
2019.
Yeah, I know, right? And I just love, look, guys, we're the defenders of the bank. We love our defenders, but more than that, we love defending the bank, defending BMO, defending our home field advantage, home pitch. Well, the club has now won its last four games in all competitions at BMO, dating back to a 3-0 win over St. Louis City on July 12th. In those four games, Philly, LAFC has now outscored our opponents at home 18-1. 18-1. That is a plus 17 for those of you that have a hard time with simple math. We are back to defending the bank, and it is exactly what we need to continue to do. This is how we win the West. We take care of the games at home. We will all cut Cristian Oliveira some slack for the awful shalala. I asked him about it in the press conference. We all had a good laugh. It was terrible. But someone's got to teach him how to do it. They left the rookie out there and they hazed him, and I'm all for it because it was pretty hilarious. We play in just 3 days. If you're listening to this, it's the 24th. We play on the 26th. We play at Charlotte on turf, 5-hour flight, 3-hour time difference. This is the very definition of a trap game for us. It is going to be rough. But I want to peek ahead real quick with scheduling with the Scarf, Philly. Be very quick at September. We got to handle Charlotte on August 26th. We have six matches in September. Six matches, three on the road, three at home. The three at home are Lionel Messi, the Carson Galaxy, and Tigres in the Campeones Cup. Those are three difficult matches, but they're at home. The three on the road, we get to travel to Philadelphia. We get to travel to the Western Conference leading St. Louis City. And we get to travel to more turf up at Providence Park in Portland. September is it for LAFC. If we can come out of September with four wins, I would like one of those to be Tigres, please. We can win the Campeones Cup, get a little trophy. If we can come out of this with four wins, and I'm going to say what those four need to be. Ready? Those four need to be beating Lionel Messi at home because we have to. Those four need to be beating Carson at home because we have to. Those four need to be beating Tigres at home because we have to. And I think the important one is actually St. Louis of those six. Those six. St. Louis is the team that we're chasing in the standings. Now, obviously, we have to beat Portland, and Portland is going to circle the wagons. Crazy to me that they fired Giovanni Savarese.
Could that be an opening for Bob to take over?
What? I mean, ugh.
Hey, you never know. I think it'd be a good fit. We might get to see Bob again. Maybe not this season, but hey, there's a vacancy. There aren't that many good coaches out there right now that want to be in Portland.
Jesse Marshall go. Love Jesse Marshall.
Portland? Nah.
Yeah, they're going to pay him a boatload of money. Watch. It'll be interesting. It'll either be him or like Diego Valeri, because isn't he working with the academy team or something like that right now?
It'd be too soon to promote him. Then again, we said the same thing about Steve, and look at what he's done.
Right.
By the way, I hope people like aren't still on the Dolo Out train.
No one's on the Dolo Out train.
You're drunk. I don't buy that yet.
I get it, right? People are pissed about Leon. They're pissed about Monterey.
People are pissed about everything. They're pissed that they moved the game back. They're pissed about everything. People are pissed all the time around here. This is a town that pisses people off.
Says the New Yorker, who's angry at everything.
You're right.
Look, We only have 10 matches to go, Philly, in the MLS regular season. We've only got 11 matches on our calendar to play. That's, of course, the Campeones Cup. But Ryan Hollingshead said it in the press conference. Other than a little smattering of games right here at the end, at the end of August, beginning of September, where we got things a little bit stacked up, we're going to get some rest in between matches, which is really nice. And that'll allow Steve Cherundolo to juggle his lineup a little bit and to see how and where he wants to deploy certain lineups. We know we have two matches coming up on turf for sure in Portland and in Charlotte coming up. So I don't think we'll see Giorgio in those two matches. I would prefer we don't see Giorgio in those two matches, but we'll see. So I think people are going to get some rest. I think Moody is going to get some good run. I think obviously Aaron Long has been great, but it wouldn't hurt to have Daniil Maldonado back there a little bit more too. Who knows? Maybe Mamadou Fall gets some burn. We got a lot of young kids, Philly, up top and in the midfield between Nathan Ordaz and Eric Duaneus coming off the bench, between Fufu and Mati Bogush and a lot of these young kids, man. We're getting a good seasoning on these younger guys, and it's a lot of fun to watch. I just want to remind everybody that we are 4 points back of St. Louis, second in the West. We are level on games played. So 4 points back, Philly.
Yup. And to remind everybody, we're still the trailblazing MLS Cup raising, always competing, Rapids beating, goal scoring, rip roaring, styling and smiling, black and gold wearing, hate on us because you can't stop swearing, still defending champions of Major League Soccer, and don't you forget it.
And with that, I think it's time to close it down. Nicely done, sir.
Yeah, not an hour and a half, but close enough.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.